football on off the ball.
Listen, I'm, you know, hopeful as anyone. You know, we're all working as hard as we can to, you know, go out and train and do really well. And, you know, whatever team the manager picks, you know, we all row in behind that. Whether we're playing or not playing, we need to be ready.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we'll hear from both Seamus Coleman and Heimir Hallgrimsson, who spoke to the media before training in Prague on the eve of Ireland's World Cup playoff semi-final against the Czech Republic. Harvey Vail reveals how he ended up declaring for Ireland, and Mohamed Salah confirms he will leave Liverpool this summer. But first to Prague, and Heimir Hallgrimsson reported a clean bill of health from the Ireland camp ahead of tomorrow night's World Cup playoff semi-final against the Czech Republic. The Czechs will also train today, and reports yesterday seemed to hint that West Ham midfielder Thomas Souček will be left on the bench tomorrow night. Speaking at this morning's press conference, Hallgrimsson said it was important to stick with what helped them beat Portugal and Hungary in November.
Yeah, it's just being ready. Kind of visualise what's ahead of us. Important now to do a session on the stadium, for example, just to feel the atmosphere, see the stadium, feel the grass, etc. Knowing what to expect, knowing what they are saying and how they see this game. And then it's just the tacticals, being ready for what they will throw at us and do what we need to do, and just remind ourselves on why we are in this position. I think we all know by now why we got good results and good performances, and that's the key. Yeah, not be over ambitious tomorrow. Stay on point. Focus on why we are here, and trying to improve that. Not only this game, but continuously.
Seamus Coleman was sitting beside Hallgrimsson at the press conference and looks set to be involved from the start, which would see him earn his 78th cap for the boys in green since he made his debut back in 2011. But he didn't play at Euro 2012, although he was a member of the squad for the Euros in 2016, famously set up Wes Hoolihan for his goal against Sweden in the opening group game. Coleman said a lack of minutes with Everton won't be an issue for him, and he said that the next few days is a chance for the younger players to make something special happen.
Over the years, we spoke plenty about it, and now we've all got an opportunity together to make something special happen. And Thursday night, as we know, is massive for us. We're all looking forward to it. We come in off the back of a good couple of results, and hopefully them young lads can feel what we felt. You know, I didn't have much minutes before the last games, but I train 100% every single day. You know, sometimes to my own fault, really. Maybe sometimes go too hard, and it's cost me at times. But it's the only way I know. And thankfully, at club level, we do train hard. And as I say all the time, when you put on the green shirt, and when everything's at stake with the games that I've played before in the past, I'm feeling good, and I'm ready for the game.
Harvey Vail is in line to make his debut in one of the biggest games in Irish football for years. The current QPR midfielder came through at Chelsea before he made a number of senior appearances for them, but he chose to leave the two-time European champions last summer. Vail, who was the captain of an English under-19 European Championship winning team in 2022, says he's absolutely buzzing to be involved.
Yeah, I'm delighted. I'm so, so proud. Obviously, found out probably like this time last week. And I was so happy calling my family off straight away. My granddad's from Ireland, grew up in Kerry, and it's a super proud moment for everyone, and I'm buzzing to be here.
Vail is a club teammate of Jimmy Dunn and says one of the first things Dunn said to him was, did he have any Irish heritage?
Yeah, definitely. I think that was probably the first question he asked when I joined QPR. You got any Irish in you? he's definitely been, I've been talking to him about it, and he's been talking to me about it, and it's a decision I'm really delighted to make.
Vail has been in good form lately and scored in his last game for QPR. The 22-year-old says he can bring some attacking qualities to the squad.
Yeah, I think it's that sort of attacking quality. Especially recently, I've been in good form. I've got a few goals and assists the last few games. I think it's that I'll always work 100%, work my nuts off, and that little bit of quality when we need it, whether it's a cross or a shot or a pass, whatever it is.
Former League of Ireland winning boss Vinnie Perth joined Owen Sheehan last night on the football show, and he broke down what way he thinks Hallgrimsson and the coaching staff will set up the Irish team for tomorrow night.
So if we go from back to front here, it's going to be Kelleher in goal. You suspect it's going to be Manning
at left wing back? Is it going to be Seamus Coleman at right wing back?
We think it's Seamus Coleman at right wing back because, I mean, we just expect it to be Seamus. The challenge is we've a couple of players coming back, whether it's Shadozi, whether it's Brady, Coleman, but you would think Coleman will always get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to fitness levels. So we'd expect the back three of O'Shea, Nathan Collins and
Jacob Ryan
with two wing backs. Mm-hmm. Either Brady or Manning. Scales obviously out, suspended, and Coleman there.
Your two midfielders.
Yeah, and by the way, we have seen Chidozie play here as a wing back. I don't expect that away from home. If we were home, there's a possibility, but you imagine. Two midfielders is a toss-up. I think Malumbi is a definite one. Who plays beside him? My gut feeling is probably Taylor will play beside him. I think he's been more the one he's looked at when he's been available. We have seen Knight in that higher position at different stages, but my gut feeling is it will be Malumbi and Taylor.
And you've already mentioned Azaz, you've already mentioned Parrott, and then you think Chidozie Ogbeni is going to take up the final position there on the right.
I just don't know where. I think, not shoehorn, but dropping somebody else in from the cold almost. I'm not sure who else fills that role. The only thing is, does he come away from a little bit and have a bit more of an industrious one there? So our two sort of supporting players could be Jason Knight and Finn Azaz. In terms of, that's about having legs in the team, that's about being away from home, going up and down and filling gaps. If Chidozie trains well, I would think he has the opportunity. I think it's his position as such. He plays that so well for Ireland at different stages. Because of his legs, you will find we'll sort of go into that position here. But I think he'd play. And what's the key to Ireland, and they've done this so often, Finn Azaz will play narrow in the sort of half position. We'll get Manning or stroke Brady up, O'Shea, and we always end up with that sort of back four under
Heimer. In possession at back four.
We've always sort of ended up that way in terms of, yes, good possession, Coleman can join in at different stages, but that security, the back four away from home, you feel like we're going to have.
And if you want to listen back to that in full, you can do so in your OTB Football podcast feed now or on YouTube for the full visual experience. Czech football has been rocked by a match-fixing controversy ahead of the game. The Czech FA released a statement on Tuesday morning confirming 47 disciplinary proceedings have been taken by the association's ethics commission. The alleged offences which have resulted in provisional bans include bribery and match fixing. Those accused include member clubs, officials, referees and players. Remember, there's only one place to be if you want to sample all the build-up to the big game in Prague, and that's on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle will be joined by Stewie Byrne in the commentary box for the game in Prague. Owen Sheehan will broadcast live from the ground. The green scene are there as well. Matthew Brennan, Ben Symes and David Wilson are in and around Prague to soak up all the atmosphere with the fans ahead of this massive game for Ireland. There'll also be some special episodes of the green scene live from the Czech capital from today onwards through to Friday. And Football Daily, as always, will keep you in the loop with all the latest goings-on around the team and the build-up to Thursday night and reaction from the match as well. Northern Ireland striker Josh McGuinness says they're relishing the chance to go toe-to-toe with four-time world champions Italy in the playoffs. Michael O'Neill's side heading into their semi-final in Bergamo, looking to reach the tournament for the first time in 40 years, and McGuinness believes they have nothing to fear.
They've been fortunate enough to win World Cups and other major tournaments, so to test yourself, not just individually, but so you are where you are as a team collectively, is absolutely massive. So we've come into this playoff here in good place. We've hit form at the right time, and we're really looking forward to it.
It was revealed last night that Mohamed Salah will leave Liverpool at the end of this season. An agreement's been reached that will see him close 9 years at Anfield, where he scored 255 goals and won every major trophy. Salah says he wanted fans to know early out of respect and called Liverpool his home. Former Liverpool captain Jamie Carragher says he deserves a great Anfield send-off.
He deserves a guard of honour. He deserves a mosaic in the cop. He deserves to be able to bring his family, his wife and his kids on the pitch in his last game and actually be celebrated for what he's done as a Liverpool player.
Salah, who's known by the Liverpool fans as the Egyptian King, put an emotional message out to Liverpool fans on his social media channels.
Unfortunately, the day has come. This is the first part of my farewell. I will be leaving Liverpool at the end of this season. I wanted to start by saying that I never imagined how deeply this club, this city, these people would become part of my life.
Maybe the writing was on the wall when Salah had a public falling out with the Liverpool hierarchy and manager Arne Slot before he left for AFCON at the back end of 2025. He'll bring down the curtain on a career in England that saw him play for both Liverpool and Chelsea. And on the news round last night, Owen, Arthur O'Dea and Ben Symes debated as to whether Salah will go down as one of the Premier League greats.
I think those numbers, when you read Salah's numbers, sometimes you kind of forget because of the seasons that he's had, this season. Even when you think back to like this time last year when not giving him a contract seemed inconceivable, like it was a sure thing to give him a contract, and even a 2-year contract, you kind of thought, oh, that's completely reasonable. He's going to keep up this form for another 2 years. Like, to be in a conversation, not just in a conversation, to arguably be Liverpool's greatest ever player at the end of his career there, like,
yeah.
I don't think it would have been in his wildest dreams to have conceived that when he joined Liverpool in 2017.
But he's not. It's a weird one where I don't know. Maybe it's just my own perspective. I feel he gets under. His reputation isn't what it ought to be for what he's done. Like, what he's done is off the charts. Like, he's unbelievable. Like, it's all those types of things. Even you see the things recently with some of the Bruno Fernandes things when they're talking about the assists and everything else or whatever, the goal contribution or all these. And it's always, even I think in his time, and the only two people close to it are Mo Salah and Kevin De Bruyne. No, I think someone like Kevin De Bruyne gets an awful lot more love in general than even Mo Salah gets. And I'm not saying he's underrated or anything like that. I think everyone knows how good he is. But I don't think the scale of just how good he is has been really and truly comprehended in the or appreciated in the sense that others, you know, that like even Haaland after first season or two was like, this guy's the greatest we've ever seen. It's an incomplete kind of thing because we don't know how everything the two stories will end. But what he's done has been off the charts. For the initial perception of who this guy was and what Liverpool were getting to what he's achieved, it's unbelievable. Like, he's as good as anyone. Like, you for impact and things, you talk about Henry, you talk about Cantona, whatever else, all these different guys. He's on that upper echelon. I don't think there's anyone in the league who comfortably say has been better than him. I genuinely, thinking about it, like, maybe there's someone you're forgetting, but I don't think anyone, certainly over any sort of prolonged 3-4 season spell, anyone who spent a good time in there, I don't think you could say many people have been better than the heights he's reached.
Why do you think that is? That he's
over a 3 or 4 year period?
Like, oh, so say like different things. So you have different, so say someone like Ronaldo obviously has had a more complete career and had two or three seasons of unbelievable excellence with Man United. So you could put that in, but I'm just saying, certain people, I suppose, come and go or are hot for a little while. But certainly of the guys you're testing over any sort of decent period, Henri, whoever else, Rooney, all these guys, Kane,
who sustained
brilliance over a while.
Henri, Shearer, Kane are probably the three automatic examples because they're up there in, like, terms of the Golden Boots one. I think Henri is the only other person to have had four, and they're all in the condensed, whatever, 5-year period.
I think he's clearly of that level.
Of that level, yeah.
Yeah, and it's nitpicking once you get into who's better than who, but I don't think there's anyone you could say is definitively, oh no, he was way better than Mo Salah.
That's available to listen back to in your OTB daily podcast feed now for free. Arsenal looks set to be without Eberechi Eze for a crucial spell. The midfielder is expected to miss the next month due to injury. He suffered a calf problem against Bayer Leverkusen in the Champions League last week, which forced him to miss the League Cup final against Manchester City last Sunday. He's obviously out of the England squad as well. Initial fears suggest a 4 to 6 week absence. Now, Arsenal have an advantage in their Women's Champions League quarter-final against Chelsea. Katie McCabe was key in their 3-1 win at the Emirates last night in the first leg. Stina Blackstenius, Chloe Kelly and Alessia Russo got the goals for the home side. Lauren James was on target for Chelsea. The second leg's at Stamford Bridge next week. Wolfsburg beat Lyon 1-0 in Germany. Tonight, Manchester United host Bayern Munich at Old Trafford in the first leg. That game kicks off at 8 o'clock. Before that, at 5:45, it's Real Madrid at home to Barcelona. And before we go, remember you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app. It's also on YouTube. You'll have all the build-up to the game. There'll be special bonus podcast episodes with all things Irish football in your OTB football podcast feed. That's from today up until Friday. This evening, the show will come live from Sally O'Brien's Irish Bar in Prague. Owen Sheehan will be joined by a host of special names. And tomorrow, we've got live commentary of the game. It's Stephen Doyle and Stewie Byrne calling the match. Owen will broadcast live from the ground. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow as we build up to the big game.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.